This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, like, he'd lay the phone down and start playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Whelan, good ball in. Alghazi! Villa have one back. One down, three more to go.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myomansaid.com, and this is part two of the 50th podcast. It's Mom's Question Time. Joining me to answer listener questions, Dan Rogers of the Villa Underground and Chris Budd. Welcome again.
Bring it on.
Now we've started.
Should we go straight into them? No messing about.
Yeah, let's go deep. Let's go hard.
Because if you want to listen to our, like, tittle-tattle, is it tittle-tattle? Yes.
No, that's James Nursey.
Yeah, well, we did a bit of that in the last show. If you want to listen to our tittle-tattle, it's episode number 50. Mm. This is number 50.5. We're just going straight into listener questions. First question, and the problem with taking all these off Instagram, the problem with it is you just have your handles. I don't actually see your name. So, and obviously people's handles are quite kind of funny. So bear with me. First one is Willem Raworth. And he says, where can I listen to the podcast?
Right here,
right now. Right here, right now. Cue Fatboy Slim.
Right here, right now. It's real time. You hear me? Real time. Time to get real.
What a daft question. Or maybe we need to get onto the marketing, Dan. Come on.
Listen to it on location, in the bath.
We have people in the air listening. We have people driving across Europe on holidays. We have people in prison listening. We have
people in the ground bored.
People at St. Andrews tuning in at Keymouth.
Steve Bruce listens, doesn't he? He follows our tactics.
No, they play this podcast over the tannoy at St. Andrews at half time. Brentford as well, I think they play it as well. Yeah, plenty of places. It's available on iTunes. It's available.
We're kind of a big deal in China,
And also China. It's broadcast. When you walk down the street, they have these little Tannoy speakers in the trees, and they just play the podcast.
We are basically propaganda.
Yeah. For what? I have no idea. But
comply, or you'll turn out like these idiots.
Question number two. Word has it 20% of Villa season ticket holders actually have a Birmingham postcode. SOTVKRO. What does that mean?
It's some sort of funny attempt at a joke, isn't it?
Has Gary Gardner written this question?
No, it's a sentence.
Funny you say that. when you put up your highlights on Instagram, you can see who's looked at it, and Gary Gardner had actually looked at it when I asked for questions. So I think that's a good guess.
He's got nothing better to do, has he?
Well, exactly. Sorry, Gary. No, it's more than 20%. It's, what is it, about 22%?
Yeah, everyone else is in Lichfield with the Blues flag, aren't they?
Anyways, moving on.
I'm saying nothing as I don't actually have a Birmingham postcode.
He's correct then. I mean, let's cut this Blues boy some slack. Next question. We're really getting off rocking and rolling with these questions. Next question. Are Villa fans really fickle? I seem to have a lot of Blues followers. This is by Chief W.J. Watton. Sheffle.
South Park. Hey, Chef.
Are Villa fans really fickle? Only if they've got chocolate salty balls.
Mm-mm. I just say this is a lovely gin I'm enjoying whilst partaking in listener questions.
Are they fickle? Well, the funny thing about the Villa fans being fickle statement, I mean, probably discussed this many times, but it does make me laugh. Like, for example, after any time Villa draw, like, for example, against Brentford, then suddenly you've got the glass half empty, glass half full, Bruce out, Bruce in.
The binary brigade. We are winning, we are losing. We are winning, we are losing.
The binary brigade that go into battle against each other. When there's a draw.
Wild thrashing of keyboards in between opening tabs of YouTube, RedTube, and furiously wanking themselves and then going back to Twitter for some more arguing.
And the middle ground with the, please, just play the kids. Just play the kids.
That's a different tab on Chrome normally, though, to be honest.
That's for the wrongins.
Right, next question. George Dukes actually asks about, he has three questions. First one, standard section.
Question mark.
What about it?
What about it, Jeff? George, sorry. What about it, George?
Jeff.
Jeff, whatever you call yourself.
That's his Chinese name.
Standing section, that's like an entire podcast in itself, which I've never put out. I've interviewed a few people. I've met politicians in Parliament, had discussions about this. It's all about the government. The government is slowly breaking on it, and they're having a review after a petition got it into the House of Commons for discussion. I actually watched it, but something you can watch. All common sense and logic says it has to happen because the knock-on effects are good for many, many things, from where you put disabled people, from stopping people standing in, you know, front of people who actually just want to sit through the whole game, and they, you know, maybe elderly people who can't keep going up and down. It will happen, but the question is, it's not going to happen anytime super soon for Villa.
He wants to experience a standing section in the meantime. He can just try and buy a pie or a drink from any area of the ground and just queue with thousands of other people trying to use facilities at key moments.
Or just go to Shrewsbury.
Yeah, I'll go to Shrewsbury, where they've actually had a safe standing section put in, the first one in this country. I mean, of course, there's old terraces, but this is the first one in for an English team. Preferred holding midfielder is another one of George's questions. We addressed this in episode number 50, where we spoke about horses for courses, didn't we, really?
Rotation is the king.
We all kind of sat on the fence. Obviously, when you're playing nippy, faster teams, probably Bjarnason's a better bet. If you're playing a team that's going to bombard us, then obviously Jedinak, because one thing he can do very well is get his head to the ball, get his beard to the ball.
What a beard it is, though.
It is a good beard.
It is.
Imagine what his testicles look like.
I was just about to say, if you listen to episode 40, is it 46? The end of 46? No, it's end of 47. You can find out, post-credit sequence, we talk about Jedinak's testicles. There's a show to go straight for. Stop, pause this one now, go straight to that one. Next question, so I think it's by George again. Should Axel get a chance at centre-back?
Yes.
Given Taylor plays left-back, or is he best left-back replacing Taylor? Who wants this one? Chris?
I'm going to go with yes, no, no.
And the concluding that, what does that mean?
Yes, he should play centre back.
Right.
I can. Yeah, yes, yeah. Taylor does play left back, but no, he shouldn't. And should Axel play left back? No.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Right, next question. Andy Mann 92 asks, And this is pretty much the same question. Well, maybe it's not. Is Jedinek a valid centre-back for the rest of the season?
I'm going to reword Andy Mann's question that Jedinek would be an invalid centre-back for the rest of the season. It wouldn't be a good plan. I like Jedinek. He's in the wrong
team.
He wakes up every morning. Oh, my God, I'm in this godforsaken city. I could be in Australia sunning myself.
Exactly. Chris,
stroking my beard.
Jedinek just an option as opposed to a starter at that position?
Yeah, he's an option.
How is safe standing coming along? Is it even a possibility, Liam Carter? I think I've just answered that. It's incoming, but we're banging at the door. We're kicking down fences, climbing walls to get this thing through, and it will come. And, you know, even Aston Villa are totally behind it. Oh, the last board were. Obviously, they've all gone now. So,
in the meantime, go to Germany.
Exactly. Another question, a bit of a repetitive one. Jedinek, Axel, right back, centre back, fiasco, says Dom Lerner. Any relation to Randy? Still keeping his hand in. We've already answered that. Axel probably over Jedinek, because although if Axel was a Villa player, like 100%, he wasn't alone, then I would say, yeah, get Axel in, because he needs to. That's his going to be his position. Then he's going to start somewhere, and this is a good time to start. But because he's a United player, there isn't that kind of long-term benefits as well. So you're thinking, well, who's the best player at this moment in time? And you know that it's not a given that it's Axel, because he hasn't got the experience. So he could turn into a early Hugo Ekiog, who took a few games to warm up.
I'd give him the game time.
All right, that's that decided then. Next question, Boxing 365. What about John McGinn winning the Ballon d'Or next season?
I'd be offended if he didn't.
I like John McGinn. He's
I like his elbows.
Yeah,
they're good, sharp elbows.
Dan hasn't listened to the last podcast, but we
yes,
we talk about his running style in that. It's probably the gag of the podcast of that one. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
John McGinn, I mean, he's a, you know, Ronaldo, Messi, Iniesta. He's the natural progression to McGinniesta, isn't it?
He's the next in line.
He's the next in line. It's succession, isn't it? That
it's in the stars.
You know, we thought, you know what, Aaron Tischbowler has got something. We can't quite put our finger on what it is. We need to send him to Kilmarnock to completely make sure that he's the one.
To complete his training.
Like some sort of fucking Jedi outpost.
Now the last task. You must go to Kilmarnock to complete your training.
But no, you sent Jemba Jemba to St Mirren. That's the place we've been foretold. No.
Shane Face 33 asks, how much better than Zidane is McGinn? I mean, come on, where do you start?
I mean, Zidane had a receding hairline, so I mean, let's be honest, that's one reason we shouldn't. Yeah, you know, McGinn's obviously better than him. What else? Sent off in the
McGinn's
World Cup final.
McGinn's got a better left foot.
Yeah.
McGinn's not ever been sent off in a World Cup final.
Exactly. No, yeah, he's got that to his locker.
He might be better in cold weather.
Well, we're only a few months from finding out, and if you haven't noticed yet, it's getting a bit chillier at night. Anyway, enough of the weather. Not Villa-related, interesting to know your thoughts on All or Nothing Manchester City TV series. Mr. Linternet asks. I haven't actually seen it yet, so I cannot pass judgment.
I've seen little bits.
Yeah, but it doesn't count.
It would have been really interesting, that series, if they'd have fucked it up. That would have been great TV.
Yeah,
but because they went and won everything, it would have been like, well, yeah.
A bit Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of gushing, but then when I look on Twitter, there's a lot of gushing, and it's from the gushers, if that makes any sense. But there has been some kind of serious thought pieces on it, a bit of conjecture in there, but I've refused to read them until I actually watch the thing. You know, straight off the bat, I don't want to know anything about it. But stay tuned. We will answer that question once we have found a time in our busy schedule to take in all the episodes.
Watch proper football.
Also, if you want us to answer that question, please become a patron. Then we can actually afford Amazon Prime. Go to myomensaid.com, click on Patreon on the menu bar, and we'll come back with a full review on All or Nothing, that Manchester City TV series. Moving on. David Blick, one of my favourite listeners of this show, probably listening to the show in Mallorca, I would guess.
Hard life.
He asks, when will Bruce play defenders in their natural positions? And then he puts lots of Z's after the end of that.
Keeps you guessing, David.
Yeah. The last game of the season is the 5th of May, so I'm going to go with that.
Listen, it keeps you guessing. I no longer know anymore.
Give it a month.
Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty questions. How long?
And
this is J.R. Taylor, 12. How long would you give Bruce if results start going bad? This is a glass half-empty man.
It depends when the bad results kick in.
As soon as he slips out the top six, I would guillotine him.
Saturday.
On the centre circle.
Well, he would know where he stands then.
You'd need a big guillotine, wouldn't you?
Quite a clean-cut scenario.
Practice on a giant melon.
If I was an eccentric, one of these crazy eccentric owners, that's what I would email him. Drop out this top six, you're out.
Copy everyone in.
Copy everybody
WhatsApp
in.
WhatsApp group.
Copy the fan base.
Copy James Nursery in, for starters.
Or maybe do like a really snazzy .com video like they like to do with WhatsApp and stuff.
Like the Love Island really one. I've got a text.
Yeah, do like a really...
You're sacked.
Yeah, do a really... Yeah, exactly. A really creative...
I've got a text. And you could have Alex Bruce going, what is it, Dad? Oh. Is it like that time we found Lee Hendry on the drive?
No? And Keith Wynas with a thumb up.
But going back to the original question, people are starting to sharpen their Bruce out knives. Mm. But it's kind of a soft start to the season. I mean,
I always like to think 10 games, the first point that I would look at the table and be saying, I mean, obviously, if you went on a crazy 6-game losing streak now, that perhaps decisions would be taken in the interim. But I think it's as you say as well, who are you losing to? What's the fashion of the defeats? Especially if you bring in new players in. But I know you were joking about the dropping out the top 16. We need to be in that pack, don't we? Winning games and looking like we're building momentum.
Yeah, because I don't think Wes Edens, for example, will mess around. I mean, there was a previous coach of the Milwaukee Bucks who was a good friend of his, and he fired. So I don't think his judgment is clouded by sentiments. So, but last season, you know, the first 7 games, we won one game, and you know, we were pretty level-headed about that. We weren't calling for his name because Bruce had to bed a lot of players in that time. This time, he's gone into the season with, let's say, the foundations of the team. I mean, the general structures there. McGinn was a great signing, and now it's just players ready to give us that little extra, and obviously he needs to organise his defence. So I think the problem with Bruce is he does enough to stay in his job, and he has a bit of luck here and there with new owners or whatever, but you really want to see him pushing on or ballsing it up so he gets out. This kind of in the middle business really doesn't help anybody.
Well, he's a good football manager, isn't he, Bruce? And he's never been exceptional, and I think he makes such bizarre, arguably stubborn decisions at times that you think, is it because that he's just learned that's the way that he is, you can say, survive? Or is it actually is it learned behaviour that's his way?
Yeah, when I went to the Hull game, I stayed around Hull for a few days, and obviously speaking to a few Hull fans, and you know, they're all quite fond when they're talking about Brucey, but you know, even they were saying that, you know, the reason he left Hull was because he kind of hit a ceiling, really, his glass ceiling. So we'll see, but I mean, this is his last season if he doesn't get us promoted. It may be his last season
I think it's his last season anyway.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Absolutely. Chris Bird has finally said something, and it's the words of wisdom. It's his last season. Everybody relax. It's all good.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right. Louis Bear, 2005, says, do you think we will keep Super Jack next season?
If we go up, yes. If we don't, no.
There you go. Chris Bird straight in with the dynamic answer. No more needs to be said. That's pretty much the equation there, Louis Bear.
I think where it would get interesting would be if we went up and were struggling, how long we would keep him then. We'd probably maybe get another year out of him. I think if he went up this season and had a good year next season, he'd be at the point where Villa probably couldn't turn down the bid that they'd get for him.
I think there's
because his value would
one other factor in you know, if we did manage to get up and he was the genuinely the inverted commas star player, and whether, because at the point at which Tottenham were basically trying their luck on a very cheap initial bid, knowing that we were broke essentially, but never really, I don't think, even for all of the bollocks in the press, really showed real intent financially.
Yeah, the bollocks in the press are saying that Spurs met Villa's, let's say, their bid that they wanted, and it was the owners who turned it down. But I think there was a bit of covering of backs by certain journalists.
And I think the dynamic would be if you get promoted and he does become more of a marquee player that we would want to protect. But as we've seen countless times before, if a team with significant stature and we've talked many times before, as fans you can't be oblivious to this, the gulf between wealth now between these two divisions is massive. Yeah. That would be a huge decision for a Grealish, that, you know, I don't think it came to the push and shove of saying, do I want to go to Tottenham, do I not want to go to Tottenham, because I don't want to sound big-headed about Grealish, because I don't think he's reached the level where top Premier League teams are looking at him, but they might. And I think that's when the game changer happens.
Yeah, I think they'll do a new contract for him and there'll be an immediate rise in pay, and then he will get another rise in pay if they get promoted. A substantial rise in pay if they got promoted, and that's how that would be structured, basically. If we get promoted, he's not going to go anywhere, really. The one thing I will say, and you kind of touched on it, is, and we saw this in the last two games especially, was the only thing missing from Jack Grealish being a top player at the moment, which we're not totally convinced by because it hasn't been evident yet, only occasionally, is that final decision of when to shoot and when to pass. And like against Ipswich, he had went on that mazy run and he probably overplayed it a little bit. And sometimes he does overplay it a little bit because, you know, he likes the ball at his feet and he likes to glide around. And sometimes you're not as snappy, you know, when you have that kind of comfortableness with the ball. And there are times where he could pull the trigger a little earlier.
Do you think that, and it was something I was thinking in the latter stages of the Brentford game where he was tinkering around the final third and whatnot, that is, I mean, this is going to sound glaringly obvious now I've been thinking about it, but does he suffer for not having a similarly technically gifted player around him as well? That there's no natural, you know, you feed the ball into Codger's feet, and though he's quite technically good, it's not a natural fit necessarily. You know, and you see it with some of the other midfielders that there's no, do you know what I mean?
I thought he had a good fit with Benteke, because Benteke had good vision and actually had a good touch and awareness. And we saw that in the semi-final against, well, we saw it every time we played Liverpool, but in terms of Grealish and Benteke, there was an interchange before one of the goals. So there was a player I think he enjoyed playing with, certainly. This time, I think McGinn, it's interesting that Grealish and McGinn are now away day buddies, room buddies.
Right, okay.
That's an intent to get them, you know, reading off the same hymn sheet and on the same frequency, no doubt. I don't think it's because they're, you know, they share an interest in FIFA or whatever. It's because that's a managerial decision to bed them in.
I think with Villa, it's the thing of movement, isn't it? It's the way Grealish plays. He's not one of those sort of box-to-box dynamic. He's not like a Yaya Toure or someone like that who'll do it all on his own. He needs options. And if he doesn't have them, he's kind of just looks up and thinks, well, who the fuck am I passing to?
Yeah, well, he needs more movement and he needs more options. He needs to be...
And it's probably the same for McGinn.
He needs to be further up the pitch, as you said earlier on.
I think, do you know what, Villa as a team need to be. That's why I think they look much better against Brentford, is that we actually played 20, 30 yards further up the field. Yeah. Rather than retreating to the 18-yard line and having a huge gap between midfield and striker and defence.
This is a team that still feels a little bit like pre-season, finding its feet. And I'm hoping that the two wingers will actually have a bit more interaction with Grealish and be on his wavelength and get the best out of him. Because I think McGinn's a good foil, but you need a creative schemer alongside him as well. Not like like-for-like player, but somebody who is, who he can interchange with. Anyway, enough about Grealish. Sean Fitz 90 says, surely with players at Bruce's disposal this season, top two is a must. Simply no more excuses. Agree?
Yes and no.
What kind of answer is that?
I don't think Villa can be, at this stage, we can't be arrogant enough to sort of feel that we have a divine right to be a top two side anymore. I think the last two seasons have shown that.
Yeah, that's not the question though, is it? It's the players that he has at his disposal.
Is top two a must? No, I would say promotion is a must. Yeah. But it doesn't matter how you do it.
I think that Bruce has actually got a couple of... I don't like this. He's probably got a couple of reasonable excuses for, particularly in terms of our pre-season preparation and, player planning that could be rolled out. I'm not saying that's the right thing, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's definitely bought himself some time. Mm,
definitely. I think he's got a top six squad here. I think he's got a top six squad.
Yeah.
The glaring errors for me is that we had a very solid defensive setup throughout last season. But barring that period where Terry got injured. And I think that our attacking threat we carried was good.
Yeah, in terms of clean sheets, we were doing all right, but it wasn't 100%. We were missing a decent left back.
Oh, listen, I agree. It wasn't perfect, but it's unsettled now is what I would... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got unnecessary things that we're... This is where Dr. Tony gets off the hook for me. We've got things like, needlessly, we've got an unsettled goalkeeper situation where we're... That's to chance, we're trialling a new goalkeeper, essentially. You shouldn't be putting that to chance in season. We shouldn't be, cards on the table, scrabbling around for wingers in the loan market at the last minute. And that's really fortuitous that the EFL allows that, I think. I still find that amazing, the outside of a transfer window you can do that.
Yeah.
Those are things that, I think actually we're fortunate to have had the bare bones of a squad. We've managed to bring it together. I don't think that's got a lot to do with Bruce, but our circumstances.
Because I was always surprised when they just got Gallini in and that was it.
Yeah,
and
they
chanced it all on Gallini. That was blatantly obvious, and that's not hindsight because, we wrote so many articles about, they need to replace Guzan with an experienced guy to back up Gallini or play and, be number one while Gallini stakes his claim. And that never happened, which I was quite surprised by. It was like Mark Bunn we trust, which... Yeah.
Mm. That was such a confused time as well, and it was all false prophecy, and we've gone over Dr. Tony's madness. That was a team that started the season and was losing at Luton with a Corey at centre half. You can't draw anything rational from it now, and that's where I think if we fail this season, there'll be cock-ups where you look back and you think, we should have gone and won at places like Ipswich when they had 10 men for a half of football. But also our preparation has to be up there with some of the worst in the division. It has to be because, we're a week from being served with an administration order. I mean, it's just bonkers.
The flip side, I would say, I think there's a lot of other teams who would class themselves as being top six or expect to be there, like Swansea. They had a dreadful deadline day. I think they lost four first-team players. Mm. Middlesbrough lost arguably their two best players. So if anything, we're actually the only of the what you'd call the big teams who haven't been raided.
Yeah, we always look at ourselves...
The guys we lost weren't our players.
It's easy to look at ourselves and feel sorry for ourselves, but also there's the fact that there's eight teams in this division that aren't making the financial fair play regulations at the moment. So it's not, we look inwardly and we always think, we've done this, we've cocked up, we're not in great shape. But Aston Villa, compared to most of these teams in the league, are in a decent shape, even though there is kind of chaos. Yeah. Mm.
And I think from the outside looking in, I think a lot of teams will see Villa and go, they've dodged a bullet. They've come out the other side, and they're now the third richest club in the country.
Technically,
playing at this level.
Well, I think it has to be. I mean, he talks about top two is a must. I think bottom, all said and done, promotion has to be a must. Mm. You know, however that's obtained. But looking at the league at the moment, I think we have the capabilities to get top two.
I'm looking forward to the playoff final against Rotherham. I think it'll be quite a day.
As I said to somebody on the phone. A couple of days ago, I think the worst scenario this season, the utmost worst scenario, is to lose in the playoff final again.
Oh.
I'd rather get relegated.
Do you know what? I've spoke about it so little that it feels like this is almost therapy for me now. That the amount of times that it doesn't happen often, I know, but the last few times going to Wembley and walking away as losers is becoming a bit of I don't know.
My record at the new Wembley.
The
is
new
awful.
Wembley, it's.
But yeah, anyway, let's before we start getting the razor blades out. Next question, Willis Moore, 26. Since we couldn't keep Terry because of his wages, would you have him back now that we can afford him? Again, it's this Villa sentimentality, Villa supporter mentality, where it doesn't matter how good, how bad. Former players are, after a while, we always want them back. And in this case, you know, how old is he now? 39? Leave him in peace.
Do you know what? I'd like him back. I'm sorry. I'm gonna throw it out there. I would have him back. I don't, just maybe not playing, but
for personality alone, I think we probably lack
just
the leadership.
Just sat next to me in the hot end, running up and down, you know, that sort of thing. No.
Yeah, just doing lengths of the stand.
I wouldn't leave him alone with my wife, don't get me wrong. But
his PR was very good. I thought Terry played the supporters very well with his like little videos of jogging up and down the Holt End and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, he knows the game. I mean, he knows how to play it. I mean, it's quite funny when you see when fans get, you know, they go on these sponsored tours of the stadium or whatever, where they meet a player. And I think one of the fans took some, you know, pictures of behind the scenes, and he found a piece of paper where it's like a breakdown. It was like the marketing department's itinerary of what would happen, and at the end it says John Terry to say this, and it's word for word what he's instructed to say. So he's obviously got to spend the night in front of the mirror learning his line. Just want to say thank you very much for supporting the boys and coming today. And
it's a big club.
Unibet,
it's a historic club.
Such a big club.
Unibet, fantastic. Blah blah blah.
110%.
I would just say it. I don't think he's going to be any better than last season. Put it that way. And also, it's money. He's not coming cheap. We're spending most of those wages on reputation and what he's done as opposed to what he can do now.
Yeah, there's no guarantee you're going to get another good season. No, we were quite fortunate really last year.
Yeah, no, exactly. If he's willing to get paid, what shall we say, a free ticket in the Holt next to Dan and maybe enough to buy Dan a beer at halftime or fetch Dan a beer.
That'd
and
be nice.
He can go and join the queue early.
35 minutes. Get one by the end of the second half.
Jog on, John.
Next question. People obsessed with Neil Taylor. How must Neil Taylor be feeling seeing a right back preferred more than him? Is his time up? Matanim 85.
He'll feel like he needs to up his game.
Yeah. If you're not in the team, then there's this kind of feeling that
speaks
people
for itself.
Are looking to move on. But, you know, you got to roll your socks up and your sleeves and fight.
He suffered a chronic loss of form, really, didn't he? And he just never recovered.
Yeah, and then his confidence obviously takes a hit. And
he had a very...
You know, I'm all for him. You know, if he gets his opportunity and he takes it, he keeps his place in the team. Yeah. But until that point, I don't think Bruce bought him,
I just thought, well, here's just a safe bet at left back. He's not going to give us anything amazing, but it's just safe. Yeah. It's that position taken care of. I don't have to think about it.
I mean, I was thinking about him recently because he appeared, didn't he, towards the back end of last season, and he didn't particularly... It caused worry, didn't it? Because he looked, as you've just been saying, he was always an average, steady fullback, wasn't he? But he was making errors positionally. He was worse than Hutton, which is some feat in my mind.
Yeah.
And I was looking for reasons, and you think, you know, that he had a chronic loss of form mid-season. Was that connected to, you know, that horrendous injury that he gave to someone like Seamus Coleman? Where does it... Because he's always had a bit of a lunging challenge in him, hasn't he, Taylor? And he did it a couple of times even after having injured Coleman. And I just think, You know, for a player who was never fantastically gifted anyway, you know, he's a good professional, good pro. But if you have to be a bit more withdrawn, because part of his game was the combative side, I thought he looked quite interesting going forward without being spectacular. But whereas you look at someone like Hutton, who's got that 110% application and perhaps, you know, not particularly spectacular in other parts of his games.
And he doesn't dwell on mistakes, Hutton, either, does
no,
he? Just
he doesn't.
Kind of gets on with it.
Doesn't.
Which is a good thing, because he would be dead if he...
That'd be a lot of thinking.
He'd just be stood going,
I'm not very good, am I? He'd be mentally crushed, but he just carries on, and after three okay games, he's heralded as the Scottish Cafu. Mm-hmm. But no, he's all right. He's at his level. He's like happy as a pig in shit. Anyway, moving on. One up front or two up front? Ask Joe Higgins.
One.
Can't we do what we did that one season and we ended up putting Ricardo Scimeca up front? Do you remember that? That was a highlight.
That was a bit of a...
I do remember that.
Bit of a Chris Samba move, that one.
Oh, God. I blotted that from my mind. Oh, dear.
I think we are, with the players we've got, you play one striker and you get a lot of our midfield players further up the field. A lot of it's tactics around playing one up front. I don't think it necessarily comes down to playing one or two up front, because we should be committing more men, regardless of it being a front two or a midfield five or whatever it's going to be. You just need more men in the box.
Well, I think you'll always go for that one up front, because that second man up front is essentially Grealish, isn't it?
Yeah. And you don't tend to get too many teams just playing a straight two these days. It tends to be the modern way to play a focal point and have two or three attacking midfielders play off it. So I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Right. Another question, and this is the last question, and it's from the man... 2N, and then it's diary, then it cuts off because it's a long name. So this is a strange one, because it just says, what's your perfect Sunday?
Wow, that's a big question.
I don't know if he's trying to, or if they, I don't know if it's a he, I think it's a they.
Is this like somebody who's actually going to make it happen? Or
Is this an open invitation? I think for me, a perfect Sunday, something that doesn't involve watching Aston Villa, probably.
Enjoying the game the day before, hopefully. If Villa haven't ruined my Saturday, then Sunday's normally a good day.
Roasting a big hog, but lighting those coals with newspapers that say Aston Villa 6, Birmingham 0.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, just being naked, walking around the canals of Birmingham naked.
It's a good look. It's either that or looking like a Peaky Blinder. I mean, I know it's close to which one you look like a bigger twat.
Luke Roper mankini with a big rubber badge conveniently placed.
Anyway, we'll leave that question for another time. It has a better potential. We haven't got the freshness to come up with something funny enough.
Let's wait until we play Blues on a Sunday morning, shall we?
Right, we'll be back for some more Mom's Questions at a later date. So anyway, until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.